This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is Frida Liu. You're listening to Her Vantage and Enterprise and Her Vantage, where we speak to women of influence and leadership. I'm here with Samira Emerson, who's the Chief Data Scientist for the Center of Applied Data Science, or the CADS. Welcome and good to be speaking to you, Samira. So when you think of Chief Data Scientist, it's a fairly new field, right? And for even women to be in it, we'll get to that story. But for you, how did you get started in this whole journey? You're interest in science as a whole.
Good morning, Freda. Thank you for having me. That's a very interesting question. I think since childhood, I had a lot of interest in numbers. I remember when I was about 3 years old, you know, the best gift that I could have was, you know, my father taking me to his office and me watching him with his calculator, going through his papers and doing his calculation and then presenting his case and numbers back to his clients. And that kind of stuck to me, you know. Calculator was more popular for me compared to my dolls and, you know, teapots, those kind of things. I'm not saying it's anything wrong with that. It's just how it started. And then I think by nature, I'm a quite detail-oriented person. So going through life, through education, the natural place for me was getting into coding and software engineering, which is what I did for my first degree. And then I got into job market, found a job as a portfolio analyst. And though it is a quite complex job, after a while, I started thinking about how can I write an algorithm that can automate this whole process. So when I was working as a software engineer, I was more mindful of applications and, you know, software as whole to run. And data for me, as long as I could read it from a database, manage it properly, and generate the right outcome, I didn't care much more than that. But through this job, I got very interested into writing algorithms that can, you know, follow the same steps and automate the whole process. Because, you know, in kind of beta stock picking, all you need to do is beat the market 51 times out of 100 times, and you already have a profitable portfolio. So that's how I got into data, and it became very interesting. So going deeper in my applications. And then I went back to university and studied it as master's, which was very interesting. So I do that every few years, like every 3-4 years, you know, I go back to university and study another master, which gives me the comfort of still being in, you know, industry and working as a professional, but also keeping a foot into academia and understand, you know, what's happening and what's the latest in academic fields and research. So I went back and studied it as part-time, and it really helped progressing my work. And then since then, I've been going, you know, different roles in data science and progressing in this role.
And it's very interesting when you when it's what you're exposed to as a child, you know what I mean, where there are no gender specifications, where you see the calculator, where you see the teapots and whatever, right? But there is no, I will just let you play with dolls, right? I mean, that kind of upbringing that you had, that you were exposed to everything. Right, I think that makes a difference as well.
I think that's crucial. There are two things that I think is crucial. Number one is not limiting anyone, you know, child or adult, by saying that you can't. I think that's the most limiting thing that somebody can tell to someone, you know. It's good to have a focus, but having a focus doesn't mean that you can't try different things in different ways. So that's number one. And number two, when it comes to children, I believe it's very important not to push them in a specific direction as a parent. And if possible, or as much as possible, give them choices and option, and watch them, you know, at which one they show like natural interest and follow that through.
Right. How did you end up in Malaysia as a chief data scientist for the cats?
So Malaysia, I came here around 2006 for the first time. So I was very interested to come here for a long holiday, but I needed to justify it. So I came and did a course in APIT at the time. Nowadays it's called APU. And had like very, very, you know, fun time. I made friends for life, which some of them followed me to UK. And, you know, we are still like very, very close pack. And that kind of stayed with me. Malaysia for me is the land of sunshine and happiness. Like very lovely people, amazing food and sunshine all the year around. So what else do you want? So I went back to the UK and, you know, carried on with life. I studied and then started working and met my husband, settled there. And it was towards end of 2016 that through a colleague that we were working together on a project in Deloitte, UK, I believe he moved in Malaysia first. And he called me and said, I have a job for you that I think you're going to love it and you're going to do a very, very good job. This was about 1 o'clock in the morning and I just moved house. I'm like, that's very good. So you mean I don't need to unpack? I can keep everything packed and move like 2-3 continents away. So I had a chat with my husband. Interestingly, it was 3 months after our marriage. And he was extremely supportive. We talked about the role and the opportunity. We love traveling and the opportunities that traveling entails. He said, you have to grab this opportunity with both hands. And I think 3 or 4 weeks later, I was here.
All right. You know, when just growing up as well, was it important to see role models or, you know, figures that represent, you know, women in science? You know, sometimes, you know, people feel that they can't do something because I've never seen a woman in this area. Were there role models that you looked up to? Was there anyone?
I think it's extremely important to have mentors in career because sometimes it gets quite complex, and having someone who can, you know, question you, be that, you know, the voice of wisdom that can help you through and guide you through. It's very important. I don't like mentors who tell you what to do, but I like the mentors that questions, you know, your choices, and that gives you another opportunity to think about it. So I have had fantastic mentors, not necessarily role models, but very, very good mentors, male and female, who have helped me through.
We'll talk a little bit about this Data for Her initiative right after this. I'm here with Samira Emerson from The Cat. Stay tuned to Her Vantage and Enterprise, BFM 89.9.
Beautiful festive moments. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
You're listening to Her Vantage on Enterprise and Her Vantage, where we speak to women of influence and leadership. I'm here with Samira Emerson, who's the Chief Data Scientist for the CATS. That's the Center for Applied Data Science. I understand there is an initiative called the Data for Her initiative. Tell me more about that.
So the company that I work for, the Center of Applied Data Science, it has a very interesting ethos and vision, and that ripples through everything that we do. And that vision is transforming workplace through analytics and data science. So that entails running projects and helping companies to build solution. But this is where we differentiate from other players in the market. We don't, you know, just hand over the solution and walk out. We help organizations to upskill and build the necessary skills to run those solutions and maintain them and improve them when time arrives. And data for her is kind of tapping into all those kind of thinkings and initiatives with a more focus on women. So we are founded by Sharala Axerit, a lady who, is very supportive of women and children. And her thinking is this inclusion and gender balance needs to happen at some point. Mm-hmm. And analytics and data science gives a very, very good platform to bring in more women and get them involved. So within Data for Her, we tap into two separate agenda. To be able to have women successfully in, you know, analytics and data science or any other fields, any other technical fields, you need two things. Number one, you need the skills. There is no way around it. You need to be equipped with the technical skills. And number two is having that support network around you, you know, the kind of mentors that I mentioned, who've been in this field, who've done it and who can help. So with Data for Her, we are trying to create both and not only go at an awareness level. I think Malaysia is a fantastic country for building awareness. There are so many awareness initiatives around, but we try to go and dive into a deeper layer and actually help women, equip them with the knowledge they need, technical and soft skill both. And also put them in touch with other ladies who've made a way in this field.
Right. And I guess, and that's a great initiative, right? So, one, to get them involved, but how do you get them, how do you get to retain them? I think it's another thing as well. When, you know, I suppose when you get married and you have children and everything, the idea is that the woman goes off and takes care of the kids. What can we do to retain them in the industry?
Freda, that's a very complex issue. And I'm not going to pretend like with one or two initiatives or programs you can handle that. I think that starts, from early stages of, a girl's life all the way through life. Okay. If I wanted to, break it down into smaller components, I'd say confidence is number one. And then support from day one. And these supports come from parents, comes from sibling, and later on comes from, partners, comes from boyfriends, husbands. It's impossible that, you know, even though you're an extremely clever girl and you can do really, really well, it's impossible to be jack of all trades, be, you know, fantastic mother, amazing bride, fantastic wife, amazing at work. You need a network around you to support that. And I learned it in the hard way. So I had this image of, very successful women are good at everything. And I thought, you know, just throw some project management skills at it and things can go very well. I project managed my pregnancy and I thought, if I plan everything very well and keep it on schedule when the baby arrives, everything gonna go very well. And if anyone told me otherwise, I was like, you are different. I am different. Let me try it. Baby comes. So I have a 1-year-old son. My baby arrived and all my clever planning, just by the time he arrived, they went out of the window. Try to reason with a crying baby. There is no way of reasoning. And this is when I really realized that it can't be done with one person. You have to work as a team, either in your personal life or in your professional life. And until that is properly created. So, the companies need to look into, number one, how they can retain women at work. So having a proper work-life balance, giving them an opportunity to really enjoy their life, but playing that dual role, having very good maternal, paternal kind of programs, because it's not just about women, right? It's about like men around them to support them as well. Showing that understanding of their situation and creating an environment that they can flourish within that environment is extremely important. I'm not talking about any positive discrimination. I'm not saying, you know, women need to be treated differently. What I'm trying to say is, to get to that 100% equal position, it will take some time. And until we get there, women are still playing dual roles or different roles. So until that part is looked after and supported, I don't think it is possible to say just throw one program and everything will be fine and women come back and they will, you know, stay at their jobs happily.
Right. I just want to move back to data science. And what do you think we can do to advance the data science ecosystem within Malaysia?
So data science, the good thing about it is the way you work in data science is either you can work in a team or, you know, you can work on your own and be in touch with your team. You don't need to necessarily, you know, sit in a team and constantly have that communication. So that gives some degree of flexibility. So as long as you have the right technology, access to the right technology, you can be anywhere in the world and do your work. And I believe that brings some flexibility that men and women equally can enjoy. So then company needs to tap into those kind of technologies, number one. Number two, companies need to provide those kind of thinking and policies that working from remote places or multiple places is okay. Also, I think supporting women in this role, because when it comes to not only data science in, you know, STEM kind of jobs, I don't have hard data to support with you on that. It's more of a personal experience. There is this stigma or this fear of coding and technical principles.
Yes.
Okay, perfect. For women, and that needs to be broken down, and that can be broken down by providing more opportunities, you know, at school days. And see, you know, as easily that you can love makeup, you can love coding as well,
right,
if you're
yeah.
given the opportunity.
Exposure,
exactly.
Right. You know, what has been the most, how has the data science field changed in the past 5 years? What do you predict will happen in the next 5 to 10 years?
What has been on rise is the adoption by mainstreaming companies and also adoption of artificial intelligence and machine learning algorithms. So we are moving to the point that, you know, those algorithms are not necessarily developed by individuals, and there are some like very like capable people in this field that developing algorithms, and they are at scarcity, so finding them is very difficult. What we are moving towards to is these algorithms are written and kept as a library, and they can be called and used by users, as long as they can explain the outcome, and if there is any nuances or differences, they can understand it and explain it. So this is the kind of trend so we are moving to. And when that happens, I think the element of focusing on data and making sure that you have data that is usable and is in a good shape. For me, I think that the emphasis on that is becoming more important than the modeling part of it. So I believe moving forward, that's what's going to change. So automating, developing algorithms and making it more mainstream so application developers can, you know, call it and use it, having platforms that enable that, and having a bit of a shift of focus on actually the data itself and how to handle the data in a more efficient way as opposed to the modeling part. Focusing on Malaysia, when I came here in 2016, the dialogue that I have with the industry has completely changed. So walking around, knocking on the doors and talking about what analytics and data science can do for you, which was what we were doing towards end of 2016. Now we are talking about very, very advanced algorithms. Now I have clients who want to understand how they can automate their call centers and text messages they receive in a way that they can streamline the whole service, pick up what are the problems or what are the interests so they can address it at the right time with the right product or right service, which is very, very different, you know, in span of a year or two. It's fantastic to see how market is moving very, very fast.
All right. Okay. I want to ask you this. What's the question you are most tired of hearing on this subject? And what would you like to say about it so you never have to answer it again?
Oh, okay. I love taking questions and answering questions to my best. However, how much do you make?
Oh, serious?
And I like to say, if you're a good data scientist, you don't need to be worried about financial part of it.
All right. So that's the question. How much do you make? Oh, wow. Okay. Thanks for being with us and sharing your story with us, and also what are the implications for data science here in Malaysia. I've been speaking to Samira Emerson, Chief Data Scientist for the Center for Applied Data Science, or the CADS. This is HerVantage, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.